of the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation.
This is Young Men Sense.
And whenever we're in Nashville,
we always listen to
the 411 with our homegirl Sharon Kay, because it's the hottest show around.
And you know it, baby. Let me say hello to Nashville, all of our wonderful people. And I do mean capital W on that. Hopefully your day is going very well. And this too shall pass. Everybody who,
amen.
You know, and I mean that, everybody who's having a functified day, and you know, sometimes that stuff just, you know, so you just must keep it moving and keep the flow going, and above all, don't lose your mind. And I can testify to that myself. But it's a beautiful day, although this weather is so tricky. You know, you think, you know, over the weekend, you all busted out with them flip-flops and them T-shirts on, and then the next day you had to get your winter coats out. So your body is trying to keep up with this ever-changing system that we seem to have here in the state of Tennessee. Woke up this morning, we saw a little reminders that the month of December means stuff like snow. Not just the holidays and having fun, but actually it means that inclement weather is of course in the foreseeable future for us. But it was a nice little holiday, you know, reminder for those that like to see snow with Christmas. Because there's some of you sentimental people out there that, you know, you just have to see it in order to feel it. And I am not one of them. maybe when I was a kid. But, you know, I'm grown people now, so it's not necessary for me to see it, since I grew up in it and a bunch of it. But here is exactly how we look forward. It's going to be cold tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. How cold? Did I hear you say how cold?
Yeah, how cold?
26.
That's cold.
Okay. I'm just saying. And
some dogs hollering tonight.
Yeah, oh, it is. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. And, you know, we might want to keep that in mind if you have pets. You know, don't have them out. Even though they wear fur, have fur coats on, it's still cold for them as well. And keep them as warm as you possibly can. And I know that many people this time of year are making their plans and, you know, organizing and gathering and spending money and losing their minds and singing and cooking and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, getting their cars tuned up or checked for the road. And it's a lot, a lot, a lot. It's a lot to do to prepare. And are you even quasi-ready for the holidays?
Yeah.
Since today is the 5th in 20 days, huh?
Yeah, this is the best time to get it done.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you are, because I'm like, I have zero Christmas decorations up at my house. Because I just, you know, I got too much to do, okay, here. This is my house, radio station. I just, I won't say I'm obsessed with the sound and the quality, but I could lean in that direction. I could easily lean. But I just, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. We did a major upgrade last year at this time. And, it's more than a notion to do a lot of the stuff that's been going on to transition from the regular dailies music flow and everything too. So y'all might have heard a few burps on the air. You'd be like, what was that? Well, just say, bless him, Lord. Get some stuff, you know, perfected. And it's a process because this station has a lot of inventory, a lot of music. And that's what makes it so good and easy to listen to. And that's what you all say, the listeners say. So we are, you are enjoying during the non-talking times on the station. You're enjoying the jazzy sound of Christmas. And we're just easing in. There's some new ones out there. There's a whole bunch of old ones. And, you know, I just like to, you know, bring something different to the table. Not to play the same 10 Christmas songs all the time that I remember, you know, growing up listening to KPRS in Kansas City and those same 10 songs, 15 or so, that's corporate radio, they just over and over them. And I'm like, you know, that's not what we do. So you're hearing all types of Christmas music here. And, you know, from top to bottom, left to right, up to down. And we just want to make it a jazzy sound of Christmas for you. So hopefully you are enjoying our music. And on Christmas Day, we begin at midnight, Christmas Eve night. And from Christmas Eve night to Christmas night, we have our special programs that we air to get you straight in the mood for festive programs, you know, storytelling or choirs, different things of that nature, jazz, just to get you in the mindset and mood for the beautiful holiday season. Now, I'm going back to, let me digress and go back to this weather. I'm just hoping, see, if it can just look like now, during the, you know, the Christmas travel time, can I get a witness, y'all? If it can just look just like that, yeah. As I'm looking out my window toward the east
depending
here
on,
in the studios.
Depending on which way you're going with the sun is, right?
Well, I mean, just the sky is what I'm interested in, and nothing falling from it, and the sun, you know, that's what's up. For, you know, for those that will be hitting the road and stuff, y'all know whichever direction you're going in, you don't want to, you know, that can do nothing but derail a trip or prolong, for sure. Now, tomorrow's high about 47, and we are, our temperatures are actually for the rest of this week into the weekend, just about seasonal, although we do have some days in the coming days, and particularly Saturday this weekend, where our chances for some showers could end up being the rain snow type. So Saturday is the day that is where the increase goes from 40% to from kind of a rain snow mix to a rain mix. And then Saturday night, complete rain all night long, 90%, and on Sunday, 80%. So we got a big wet weekend, and temperatures will be in the low 40s. So that's how we're looking. Got some Christmas shopping out there you all need to be doing, and everything. So just bundle up, because the winter months are ahead for us here in Nashville. We have beautiful sunshine in the city and 40 degrees in Nashville. In about maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes, Commander Chuck will be along to give us our updated traffic information and let us know how things look around the coming in and out of the downtown area on the interstates, etc. So we're looking forward to chatting with Chuck. And this hour, my guest is returning Her name may sound familiar to some of you. We had a very good discussion before on culture. And I told Karen Jaw Madsen that I want her to come back to have even more of a discussion on culture and, you know, workplace was kind of where we went last time, or your business culture, and we can stay back in there, or we can just talk about culture, period, because that is so much a part of our lives. And she was hitting on some really, really good points during the interview process last time. So I'm looking forward to having her back with us today. Now, I did want to mention her book, by the way, is Culture Your Culture. And she will be sharing that information with us. You know, give you the overview, because her interview, and am I right or wrong, it's already on the podcast, right? The one that the first time
should be
okay. It should be in there the first time from the last time she was on some months back. Now, I know I have been saying that Adonis was going to be with us today, and we were just to be discussing keeping a positive attitude, but I don't know if that's going to happen, so I'm trying to keep a positive attitude. I'm trying to say what, you know, I'm trying to project what the subject matter was. So, having said that, I don't know. I can't be honest with you, so we'll find out when the time comes. But in the interim, at a little past five, I did an interview a few months ago with this gentleman, and I did not get a chance to air it. And today might be a good opportunity if we don't check in with Adonis. There was a book that came out a couple of months ago. The name of it is Monster City. And I know what you're thinking. What is that? A kid's book or a joke book? No, it's not. It's about Nashville. Monster City, Murder, Music, and Mayhem in Nashville's Dark Age. Michael Arntfield is the author. And you'll hear him talk about why he wrote the book and why our city, that is mostly primarily referred to as Music City, had during a certain time period in this city a name of Monster City to some who dealt with working the streets and getting the criminals, etc., off the streets, and known for some serial murders. So we'll be talking about that, and in particular, the book is written around one of, I believe he's retired, one of the legendary police detectives here in Nashville, Pat Postiglione, who has been around in this city for years and years as a an excellent detective and elite worker in, you know, solving cases and etc. So and he's had done a lot, and this book shares a lot about his work on the streets and helping to apprehend some of these. I mean, it's just so deep about, and I'm just, once he ties all these things together about the city,
it's like, what?
Well, I was like, you know, and it just, I forgot that this hadn't aired, and I'm like, people are not gonna want to hear it, but there's a lot to learn from some of the things that happened 20, 30 years ago in Nashville. Some of the stories that he's going to be talking about, I've covered and written about and etc. and reported on. So, you know, I have interviewed this detective a bunch of times. So I was happy to hear more. And that's during the 5 o'clock hour. So anyway, that's coming up. Now, also, after we get Commander Chuck, I just wanted to spend a quick minute or two and talk about the funeral today of the late former President George H.W. Bush and get a quick check and see what has been going on in the last couple of hours. Anyway, and so many people today had a chance to watch on television the play-by-play of everything. And today is the National Day of Mourning. So there's a lot of people that's, you know, feeling high emotions today. So we're going to talk about that for just one quick second. Now, after we get the traffic report. Now, Chuck, I want you to know that the highlight of my week...
Oh, my goodness. I didn't have a chance to talk to you. You had, what, the DA in there last week. I didn't get a chance to talk to you.
I know. I had all those important people. I was like, I had to go straight to the point, honey, because, you know, time is money for people like that. And, you know, it was so, you know, we were just having such a great conversation. And, but I, you know, I didn't get to do my usual routine with you, so I was like, I missed the Chuckster.
That's all right. I mean, you was texting each other late last night, so we got it out.
You know it. And you are so lucky that I responded to you, because I am I'm shutting it down, baby. I am so done.
I was shocked, though. I was.
Well, I was up playing words with friends, and then I heard the ding. I was like, oh. Oh, who is this? Who be dinging me when I'm trying to ding this person on this game? You know, and it was you. So I was like, oh, that's cool. certain ones, I'm going to let you in. But those people that, do you have people that put you on some list and you get all this junk and, you know, all these posts and all, you don't even know these people. You didn't ask to be on it. Well, I'm on about 10 of them things. As soon as they put me on it, I'm taking myself off because I don't have time to sit and look at everybody's videos and memes and quotes. I ain't got time. I'm trying to do a job up here.
Are you getting those robocalls also?
Man, I get them things, and I declare. Declare, Chuck, right now. I can't stand them things, okay? I can't stand them.
I had 23 yesterday. I counted them.
Oh, my God. And I think we need a class action lawsuit, and let's get $1 back per call, because,
you know. We have to pay for that. You're right.
We can buy you a new helicopter, right?
This is true.
Hey, Chuck, how's it look going around this city today, man?
Thanks, Sharon. It's starting to build out of downtown. Right now, we are looking live at 40 East and West here as Fesslers are on the brakes there, especially westbound. They're tapping the brakes at times, going eastbound, trying to get past Fesslers out towards the airport. Sure, it wouldn't be an afternoon if we didn't have a little laundry list of accidents. Murfreesboro Pike at Town Park Drive, 1800 block of Murfreesboro Pike. I believe that's going to put it near that Piccadilly's, and 3900 block of Clarksville Pike. It's been slow up north of town on 24. We've had a wreck up in Jolton earlier today that's had traffic really slow eastbound. Now there's a bad wreck outside of Clarksville on 24 westbound that's had traffic really tied up. This traffic report is brought to you by one of our new sponsors called Float Nashville. That number is 567-7222. That website is floatnashville.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent
Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
You've sacrificed much for your country and for your family, and we believe every long journey should lead back home. That's why the Great Choice Loan Program has made it easier for qualified servicemen and women to own a home. With a 0.5% interest rate reduction and optional down payment assistance on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. To see if you qualify, visit GreatChoiceTN.com today.
Sponsored by THDA in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com.
Hey everybody, Bobby Jones here, reminding you to join me as I host the hottest gospel countdown in the country. That's right, I'll be counting them down. 20 of gospel's most popular songs. I'll also bring you some brand new music from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and put the spotlight on Fred Hammond. You don't want to miss it. It's always a good time. The Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, the number one gospel countdown in the country. And you can catch my gospel show, the Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, every Sunday from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from Mount Zion Baptist Church. Don't miss the festive Christmas production at Mount Zion Baptist Church on Wednesday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Mount Zion's Old Hickory Boulevard location. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit mtzion.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care and Mount Zion Baptist Church. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Back on the show to continue our discussion is organizational expert Karen Jaw Madsen. She was with us a few months back and we had an interesting conversation about culture and in particular in the workplace and her formula for having a successful workplace and merging in various issues of culture inside of there. And Karen, it is so good to have you back. How are you today?
Good. It's great to be here, and it's good to hear your voice, as always.
Oh, yes, definitely, because we had just a lively and interesting discussion last time, and I definitely wanted to have you back because, you know, you were touching on a lot of important areas and, you know, a lot of considerations for people in the workplace, and, you know, we're always looking for the good tips and the good ideas. So that's why you're back. You're back. And that's exactly what you do, and you're an organizational expert and you help so many businesses and corporations to tighten up their cultural issues and management and employee engagement, etc., because that interaction
with employees is so, it can either tear your business up, or it can tear it up or down, or, you know, or it can make it a positive experience for everyone.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think when you bring people together, there's a lot of great things that could happen.
Yes.
With the right conditions in place. And so culture ultimately helps a company as a liability or an asset. And so, of course, my work is built on trying to help create the conditions where both business and people thrive. Mm-hmm. And that oftentimes has to do with the experiences I have at work, the context, and certainly the culture and all the behaviors that come with that. Now, the thing is, people have a hard time with it sometimes because it's kind of a big, intimidating concept.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize, and what I hope to change in terms of the perceptions out there, is that while it is something that's so powerful, it's not so inaccessible that a single person can't make a difference.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do is to provide the tools to do that.
Well, and that's exactly what your book, Culture, Your Culture, really attempts to do. Do in the workplace, would you, is the HR department or person one of the most crucial ones in this process, or is it the head person, the owner, or who is that you discovered is the most valuable in the process?
I think it's most valuable when all the stakeholders are involved. So it's not necessarily one person or role. I actually just published an article recently about what role HR should play when it comes to culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there's no one person that can own culture and wield its power alone. It's something that has to be collaborated with and built by those that experience it. And that includes all the employees. So it's not just the leaders. It's not just the HR department. It's the employees of the company that make it great. And you mentioned, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and since workplaces are of different size, you know, we have small, you know, startups, and then we have, you know, small businesses at, you know, less than 10 or 5 mm-hmm. or whatever, all the way up in the listening audience, all the way up to thousands. So can you talk about the significance of the culture being correct in size and scope when you're having a discussion today, please?
Absolutely. And I actually live in Silicon Valley, so I can speak certainly to the startup space mm-hmm. where the dynamics on the founding team is so critical to establishing the company. I mean, you know, having a great product isn't always enough to get a company off the ground. Sometimes it gets broken down by the fact that the founders can't get along and they've created a culture that doesn't work for them. So there's anything as small as, you know, working with a business partner, there's still dynamics and culture around working there, that way. And then and that scales up all the way to the enterprise scale where it becomes this large, complex piece that also builds subcultures. And the whole thing is, can you be intentional mm-hmm. about managing that for the better, as opposed to leaving it to kind of deteriorate on its own.
Yeah.
And that I happened to tune in a little bit earlier to your show, and I heard you mentioning the concept of resilience. Cultures that provide more resources, and that's not just, you know, financial or work-wise. I mean, resources are also our mental space and our well-being.
Yes.
So those that are, you know, that have a higher capacity for resources for their people
mm-hmm.
also means that they develop organizations that are more resilient. So that is the ability to bounce back when you encounter adversity.
Well,
so there's a lot of pieces around that, too.
Okay, because that was really kind of, you know, at the end of the day, the purpose of having that gathering was to help with that issue in the community, because it's one that is a pressing one for them, and it does make people feel more engaged and included if they know have a better idea of, you know, system and who's who and what's what, and the players, and that these people are actually human beings that live and breathe like everybody else, and
That's right.
They, oh, well, this is the human side of it. So I guess in the work I do, I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that, but since you mentioned it, yes, that's what we, that's what the goal of that project was. So I need to change my thinking about what I'm doing as well. So I'm learning something from you right now.
Oh, that's great. Well, I love having these discussions.
Well, I think it's, you know, people can expand their horizons in multiple ways so that it's easier for them to get along and get some things done. Now, in your book, you have the design of work excellence or experience. Is that Dow? Is Dewey?
Dewey. I pronounce it Dewey. And the reason for that has to do with the very last page of the book where I leave the readers with a challenge as to whether to take these concepts or these hopefully inspiration points and to ask, do we? Do we do something about this or do we not? And so that was intentional, and it's really a fun pun more than anything else.
Now,
but
go
it's
ahead.
Memorable, hopefully.
Okay, it's your model that you created. Now, when somebody has you come out and speak and all that, are you teaching them this Dewey method?
Yeah, I do provide an overview of the work, but you know, I don't necessarily want to lead with just the framework and say, okay, here, apply it.
Yeah,
You know, for me, it's about understanding intimately what's going on in a particular organization and how this tool might help them customize to their unique context. So it's not intended to kind of create this everyone does the same thing. It's providing the guidance by which every company can kind of realize their own destiny. Even those that are in the same industry or space, they're still different because the people are different, the cultures are different, the values are different.
Certainly.
Those things. And the skill is not just how do you do culture, it's kind of curating the right solutions for a particular context. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you some thoughts about some majors that have been the headlines. Facebook.
Sure.
They have clear issues. And you had mentioned earlier about it being so big or in scope and scale that the head doesn't know what's going on sometimes. And it does seem as though the Mark Zuckerberg is not fully up on everything that's going on. You know, it seems like there's cultures inside of there that are could be runaway if you don't watch them. Is that a case of something that is just too big help me with that, because sometimes I see stuff that's too big that becomes a mess.
Right. Just because it's large, it doesn't mean that you can't understand it, and it doesn't have to be intimidating. That's really what I'm trying to help people understand.
Uh-huh.
It's just the question is whether they're paying attention.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just Facebook. It's a lot of companies out there that perhaps have not focused on that piece long enough, and the conditions changed, and they may or may not have realized it. The example of Uber, that came out, I believe in 2017, right? I heard about rumblings there well before then, back in 2013, right? So there's all these points in which a company can ramp onto this culture work. It's just a matter of whether or not they do it. There's a lot of great people that work there. I have friends that work at Facebook as well, and I think they're trying to do things for the greater good, and there has obviously been a lot of complicating factors that have gotten in the way. And I'd like to see any company who's having their culture brought to light to use it as a watershed moment to say, you know, let's learn from this as an organization, and that let's be more intentional about creating conditions where these challenges can exist. Right. You know, it's such a shame that there are certain aspects of the culture that have given people a less than ideal employee experience.
Right.
And for that they are losing some talent, and I don't think that's what they intended to do.
Yeah.
So I really, you know, these are when culture comes to light. It's uh-huh. often after the fact, but there is so much that can be done on the front end
yeah.
where it's not only prevented, but it's, as I said earlier, it's actually an asset to the organization. And what I mean by culture is really anything that influences behaviors, the interactions, or the perceptions. Mm-hmm. And if you look at this example of Facebook, you can pick out, okay, what behaviors, what types of interactions mm-hmm. are happening, what's the internal and external perceptions out there.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just them. It's every organization needs to struggle with this, regardless of industry.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, everyone needs this.
Yeah.
Maybe half the people care about it,
yeah.
and even fewer are willing to invest in it.
Yeah. So,
and so you have a decision. You either, it's not whether or not you do, it's you choose one way or the other, uh-huh. right? Asset uh-huh. or liability.
Okay, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about another big one, and that will be General Motors. Because that is clearly full of culture. And they, you know, with plants all over the world and thousands and thousands and thousands of employees. And sometimes the management doesn't seem to be keeping up with the feelings of the people. I guess sometimes they don't care. I don't know. It's hard to say. So anyway, I want to talk with you about that one, and I got a couple others that are not quite nearly that big to ask you about, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
If you have a question or a comment, we're talking with organizational expert Karen Jaw Matson today. She wrote the book, Culture Your Culture, and we're talking about culture in the workplace and what your business says or your company says about you. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com.
Wow, doesn't my yard look great?
Well, yeah, but did you just blow all the yard waste into the street?
Uh-huh. I don't want that stuff messing up my nice lawn.
Well, have you ever thought about how the fish feel when all that ends up in their yard?
What?
Whatever you blow into the street and gutters goes straight through the storm drains and ends up in the creeks, rivers, and lakes. There, those grass clippings stop up the water, cover fish habitat. And when the grass breaks down, it uses up the oxygen that those fish and the other animals in the water need to breathe, not to mention causing thermal pollution by increasing the temperature of the water. You're ruining the environment. Only rain should go down the drain.
I never thought of that.
For more information on how you can stop stormwater pollution, visit tnstormwater.org or search for Tennessee Stormwater Association on Facebook. Remember, only rain should go down the drain. Sponsored by the Tennessee Stormwater Association and aired in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for Jazzy 88 comes from Ed's Fish, located at the corner of D.B. Todd Boulevard and Buchanan Street. Ed's Fish is open Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. In business since 1972, Ed's features whiting and catfish with side dishes. For more information, call 615-255-4362. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And we are talking today about workplace culture. And many of you out there work, either for yourself or somebody else. You're in small, medium, and large companies, or maybe you're at your house, working in your own house, doing your own thing. But we're discussing that issue today because at the end of the day, that reflects a lot about your business or the company that you work for. And Karen, organizational expert Karen John Madsen, is back. She was on the show before, and she wrote the book, Culture Your Culture, which is a wonderful book. You know, I had to give mine away because somebody came up here and asked me about it, and I was like, okay, here. So, yes, you can have this. So, you know, I have been known to give away a lot of my books, so, you know, I encourage people to read. But,
thank you.
You know, you're definitely welcome. And, when you're aware of it and you see it change, just come, or you understand what it is that's going on, it's easier to handle. You have a better idea, because if it's to change or correct or instill positive behavior in the employees or in the staff or whatever, the more you know, the better off you're going to be. Now, I was asking you before the break, Karen, about a couple of large cultures. I was mentioning General Motors. That's on the, you know, opposite end of the Silicon Valley type, like Facebook, because that's, you know, America's steel workers and auto workers, and, you know, that's a whole different, talk about culture, that's a whole different realm right there. Can you speak on what you have been seeing? You know, they made the announcement, they're going to cut all these people out, they're going to lose their jobs. And what were your thoughts as you watched that unfold?
Yeah, I feel for the people.
Yes.
And it's not something I miss being involved in, because I tend to have a lot of empathy for their situations.
Yes.
And wish I could help everybody, honestly.
Well, and you know,
every company has that.
Yeah, and something else that magnified it so many times was this with this particular industry, this seems to happen regularly. I mean,
yes.
That's the worst part of it. The money's good, but there seems like it's just a constant stress. You know, not knowing if, you know, your check is going to end and your career is done.
Yeah. So two of my favorite quotes, and this applies to the Facebook situation as well, is, you know, we're perfectly designed for our current results. And that means that what we are dealing with today, we've actually made those decisions all along the way to create the current state. On the other side of that is our worlds are formed by the questions we ask.
Yes.
So you talked about, Sharon, now that you've been exposed and you're thinking about things a little bit differently, change has already begun because you're asking the right questions.
Sure.
Now, right? And so where we have these current conditions that are less than ideal, if we start to question and take more defined, intentional direction and action around that, then you could be able to create a different future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like what Peter Drucker said, and, you know, we want to predict the future, you create it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how does that...
And culture can do that.
Well, Karen, how does that work in terms of, like, let's say the current administration in Washington? And, you know, that is the most up and down, in and out craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know,
about that as a workplace.
Oh, Lord, help me, Father. I just could not. Those people, they're all going to need therapy when it's over.
Right.
You know, I'm serious. But I mean, just the instability of it, the up and down, in and out,
changing direction.
Yeah. The herky-jerkiness of it is like enough to just make you lose your mind. Now, isn't this going to have an impact? Won't this have an impact when people are in workplace cultures like that, that are clearly dysfunctional? Won't that have an impact on their health? I mean, you know, blood pressure
or,
you know, candidates for, you know, all kind of health related issues popping out?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go and look at disengaged workforces and their absentee rates, I mean, there is a correlation there. And some can argue causation, right? If you look at those toxic environments and you see that there is an impact on people's health, not only physical health, but mental health as well, and you feel for them because they shouldn't feel like, and I'm glad, I think some people did decide, hey, you know what, this isn't for me, I'm going to move on. And I want people listening to know that they should never feel like they're stuck. That there's always something within their power to do something, whether they want to make a difference on their own team or they want to say, this company is not worth my talent, and be able to move on to a different environment that's better for you. I just want, I think the worst thing to happen is to allow these environments to affect you in a way that you don't deserve to have, you know? So I do want people to feel like they can be empowered. That's really a lot of the message I want to send out there.
And to not be fear-based?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that creates other behaviors, right? So that's, I do coach individuals sometimes, and my whole thing is, you're in this toxic environment, don't let that change who you are. You still have your values. And if you allow that environment to affect you, then that's actually something that's a personal development challenge, right? Because you have to know yourself first. You have to know your values and say, does that align with the company? Do I want to time my career with the growth of this company or lack thereof?
Okay. Now let's talk, go on the other end of the spectrum. Let's talk about the smaller businesses, you know, with less than, you know, less than 10 people. And, you know, might be mom and pop or might be family. You know, and their environment, of course, is different because everybody's close.
Sure.
Or there's relatives involved or something of that nature. So can you talk about, can you talk about that, you know, culture and how to avoid making mistakes?
In small business, I actually enjoy that. And it happens in startups as well because they start out very small. What's so powerful about culture in a small setting is that everybody can make a huge difference, right? So three people in a group of 10 have 30% at least, right, 30% influence on what's going on. And sometimes it comes to having that conversation about how do we agree to work together? You know, what are some core values around how we want to treat each other and behave at work? How do we align on common goals? So that all happens no matter how big or small you are. And it's still a workplace, even with family, you know? And you create this environment where are we doing our best? Because if we're doing our best, our company's doing, you know, its best too, right? There's this tie. It doesn't have to be conflicting agendas, right? You can line up employees' ambitions with the ambitions of a company. And that's what I tend to do with design of work experience as well, is to bring all that together.
So what kind of, how should they engage their workers? I mean, what is there, like, something that should, trainings or take them to lunch? I mean, you know, give me some examples.
I mean, I think a lot of companies do think of culture as amenities, and those may help express some values of the company, but it really comes down to their experiences there. So a few things I would advise is to ask, to have conversations, right? What's preventing the leaders of even a small business from having conversations with their employees? There's nothing. I mean, what's the worst that can happen when you engage your employees? I've challenged leaders around that. But I do have a set of questions that I challenge companies to ask themselves, like, do we have a culture that's clearly articulated? Mm. Is it understood, implemented, and lived? You know, is what we think we are what we actually live? So is what we say what we do, basically, right?
Yeah.
Does our culture support or erode the success of our business, right? What have we done to be intentional about the culture, and how do we do this? Because that's unique to every company.
Yeah, yeah.
And what changes are required to get us from where we are today to where we want to go? Mm. Those kinds of conversations energize people because you're engaging them, you're trying to understand and actually tap into the knowledge and the experience that everybody has to offer. You know, and if all the decisions are made by the one at the top, who doesn't necessarily have the view of everything,
sure.
And those can be very myopic decisions, right?
Well, and let me ask, and knowing that what you just said, how does that work in that in the smaller environment like that, where the employees think they know more than the owner or the person in charge, because you give them an opportunity to give you some feedback. Then suddenly they think they run the company and you're an idiot.
Sometimes, yeah. So what I challenge organizations to do with design of work experience is to use this methodology as a co-creation exercise. So that is a partnership, an equal partnership by which you co-create that future together. So everyone's knowledge is tapped into and leveraged in a way that the other thing is there are decision-making tools in this methodology that are based on data as opposed to the loudest voices in the room. So there's some discipline around that to try to offset some of the current dynamics.
Okay.
I encourage people to read about that because it is a different way of working. But what I've challenged people is, you know, if you want different results, you have to try different things, right? Yeah,
definitely, definitely. And how important is it to a new, like if you have, you come in, you're a president or CEO or director or whatever you are, and you make people feel like they belong versus, you know, if you don't tiptoe and walk on eggshells, you're going to be gone, I say gone. I mean, can you talk about how the folks in the leadership capacities can be kinder, gentler, and making their employees feel like they still want them?
Yeah, I mean, the first question is, those companies that manage by fear, how innovative are those companies? I can probably put money on the fact that they're not very innovative, because there's nothing like fear to stifle innovation. Mm-hmm. And when I give advice to leaders, I do say, you know, are you engaging? Are you having conversations with your employees? Mm-hmm. And everybody, and I think everyone can understand, even bosses who have never worked for anyone else, they know what it's like to have meaningful work, right? So how do you create inspiration and the drive to be successful?
Yeah.
And you don't have to be an inspirational leader to bring that result out. You just have to set the conditions where people consistently have that, right? Because I've had some leaders like, oh, I'm not like that, or that's not my personality. I'm not asking you to change who you are. Unless it's really bad, of course.
Right.
But it's about changing behaviors, right? And eliciting a different response than you have in the past.
Yeah.
And so it's in every company's best interest to be able to leverage their people. That's why you hire them. You can't survive without them.
That's true.
And so even in a small business, you can sit down and say, okay, let's talk about a team charter or what makes it special to work here and why are we different than everyone else?
Right.
I guess you know, those kinds of conversations.
You can't fire everybody. Or you'd be sitting there by yourself.
You wouldn't survive.
Right.
That's right.
And there's probably been workplaces where folks come in and said, clean the deck out, you know, and I got rid of everybody. And then like, oh, crap, I didn't mean to get rid of everybody. Yes, you did.
That's right.
You know, that happens. And then there's
And they got to make their bed and lie in it,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do. Well, hopefully they'll read your book.
I hope so, too, because I really do want to help them.
I know, and you are just awesome. And Karen, I really appreciate you so much, and you know I got your number. So
I'll come back as many times as you want.
You're my organizational expert. Oh, my God, yes. Definitely. Now, tell the audience your social stuff and how they can reach out to you.
Sure. Yeah, they can find me on Twitter. I'm at Karen Jaw, J-A-W. I'm on LinkedIn, of course. I'm on Instagram. It's under co.designofworkexperience. I'm on Facebook as well. So anyone can easily reach me, as well as my website, www.designofworkexperience.com.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, and I hope that your holidays are wonderful. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you in 2019, okay?
Good, yes. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much. All right, that was Karen Jaw Madsen, organizational expert. Good tips for you if you're in business, thinking about it, or whatever the case may be. You know how we like to lay the cards on the table and cover them from top to bottom. Anyway, news is next, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411.